Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from Matthew 15, beginning in verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon, which is on the coast of the Mediterranean. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was instantly healed. Wow. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is a beautiful story. But on some level, it's somewhat disconcerting for me because it doesn't fit with, you know, this meek and mild, gentle Jesus that he himself says that he is. Come to me, all. Because, like, Jesus says that just in the Gospel of Matthew, and then it seems like he's saying, yeah, but that doesn't include certain people. That's what it looks like on the face of it. So here they are. They've just done some incredible work in the region of Galilee, and it's time to pull away. Now, the Gospel of Mark tells the same story, but uses some different details. It says, they got away from that region. They went to the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and the intent of Jesus was to get away from it all. And he lands up at somebody's house in Tyre, and he's trying to keep it on the down low. But that doesn't happen because, hey, people want to be healed. People hear about Jesus and they're attracted to him. Here's something interesting. If you read a little bit earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says that when he goes about teaching in the Galilee, that there are people that come from all over the place. And it includes people that came from Tyre and Sidon. Okay, so this is like 100 miles away. But the word about Jesus is out, and people are coming from far and wide. Now, I'm going to engage in a little bit of creative exegesis here, or kind of inference. If there were people that came from Tyre and Sidon, and they talked to Jesus and they received healing, if that happened to you two, the Edwards, and you were from Tyre, wouldn't you invite Jesus to come to your house and say, "Hey, the next time you're in town, we want you to come and be with us"? And it seems as though that's the scenario in the telling of this same account in the Gospel of Mark. Mark 7, you can read it for yourself. Jesus goes and goes to a home in that place. Now, I don't know if it was a Gentile home or if it was a Jewish home. I guess from the context there, you might think that it was a Jewish home. But Jesus is all about breaking cultural, holy cows. And so he may have been in a Gentile home. But I think there's something in the text that makes it sound to me like he's in a Jewish home. Because, you know, the Jews were scattered all over the place, right? They had been all over the Roman world. In almost every community, you were going to find a synagogue, a minyan of 10 men that were praying together, a Jewish community all over the place. And we believe that that was true also in Tyre and in Sidon. So that would explain to me why Jesus would say, "Hey, I've come for my main mission here in these 3 years is for the lost sheep of Israel." Okay? Because here's the scenario. This woman, this Canaanite woman, this Syrophoenician woman, as described in the Gospel of Mark, she has a daughter who is severely oppressed by a demonic spirit, constantly. And this woman is beside herself. Yesterday I was watching on TV a little piece about St. Jude's Hospital. And there was a man and a woman on there, and they were telling this story, and they said, you know, you hear the news from the doctor, and they say that the worst news that you can ever have is that you have a terminal disease. He said, but that's not the worst. The worst is when that you hear the doctor saying, your child has a terminal disease. And any one of us who've ever had children, we know that we would even gladly exchange our own life if it could mean that our child would live. And I believe that that's the spirit with which this woman came to Jesus. It's a mom that's desperate. And maybe she's tried other manners of healing, but she cries out to Jesus. Maybe she's heard rumors from the people from Tyre and Sidon that went to Galilee. Jesus is healing everybody. It's amazing. You too can ask him. And sure enough, she says, Lord, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Have mercy on me. For my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. And then this thing that we see, and it's hard to understand because Jesus seems to ignore her. He wants, really, it looks like he wants nothing to do with her. And then finally she keeps on, and the disciples are like, Jesus, send her away already. She's bugging us. There are a lot of actors in this text. Okay, there's this Syrophoenician woman with the daughter that desperately needs healing. But there are also the 12 disciples. And then there's Jesus. And I wonder if Jesus is acting as he is because he wants to teach the disciples a lesson. Right? Because here they are recalling it years later in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark. So it must have made a big impression, don't you think? Some incident in the life and ministry of Jesus. So let's remember, Jesus wants to teach his disciples something, but he also wants to draw out something from their hearts and the heart of this Syrophoenician woman. And so maybe Jesus is silent. Do you ever pray prayers and you feel like you're not getting an answer to it? And you think that God in Christ is not listening? No, he is. He's waiting. He has a reason, my brothers and sisters. We may not see it, and we may not understand it, and we may not know it. Maybe we'll know it after the fact. Maybe we will not know it even in this life. But Jesus has a reason when he's silent. And I think in this case, he wants to draw out the heart of the woman, but he also wants to draw out the heart of the disciples. Because here, it's very telling. The disciples are there presumably on a mission for the lost sheep of Israel, presumably for a ministry of healing. And then this woman shows up and they're like, she's bugging us, send her away already. I wonder if some of the encounters that we have with people in our professional walk, in our personal walk, I wonder if we look at some of these people as inconveniences, as irritants, not as people who need Christ and how Christ possibly may bring them across our path so that we can extend grace and love to them. But yeah, I know it's true of me. Probably is also true of you. There are times when people come into your life and it seems inconvenient and you just want them to go away already. Jesus is trying to teach a lesson, of course, to us today as disciples. There's a reason for everything that happens and that we should be joining Jesus in his mission. Right? I'm all about doing the work of the Father, he said in John. It's like, and you too can join me in that. So keep your eyes open and keep your ears peeled, okay? Because at any moment, I might be doing something special. Okay, so he says, well, I came for the lost sheep of Israel. And that's understandable. Jesus had a limited ministry, 3 years in this world, okay? But don't forget this. Jesus says in John 6, all the Father has given unto me, I will receive. And I will in no wise cast them out. All. What's the definition of all? Is there any exclusion in all? It's like everybody. It's Jew and Greek. It's male and female. It's slave and free. Jesus has come to receive all who would come to him. And here's the irony. He came for the lost sheep of Israel. But the fact is that many of the sheep of Israel utterly rejected Jesus. They were the ones who, at the end of the day, with the Pharisees, the leader of the sheep of Israel, were saying, crucify him, crucify him. Isn't that ironic? It's like Jesus came specifically to redeem Israel, and yet most of Israel rejected him. And it's the Gentiles who come and see, I need Jesus. And as we read in our call to worship, this is a promise that was always been out there. Even in Genesis, remember Jesus or God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a blessing, okay, to the whole world. And whoever blesses you will also be blessed. In that promise, we see that the blessing was going to be the Messiah. Because Jesus was going to come from the line of Abraham. And in Jesus, all the nations of the world were going to be blessed. Well, he says that to the disciples. Well, I didn't really come for, you know, my main mission here is the lost sheep of Israel. And then this woman gets an audience with Jesus, okay? Because he's not just going to continue to ignore her, right? Or tell the disciples to go send her away. She comes and she makes her request. And she said, help me. Help my daughter. And then we have this strange saying of Jesus. Hey, you know, it's not right for me to take the food that is intended for the children and hand it to the dogs. You know, it's like in that case, the bread is the bread of life and he is the giver. And, you know, the Jews are the lost sheep of Israel, of course. They are the children. And who are the dogs? The Gentiles. This was not uncommon. I am quite 100% sure that the disciples that are listening in on this, when they hear Jesus calling this Gentile woman a dog, they're like, yeah, absolutely, 100%. Because that was the term that they used for the Gentiles, those Gentile dogs. Every one of those disciples. Well, curiously, in this case, Jesus uses the term for dog in Greek that is a little different than the one that the Jews had in mind. Okay, that scavenging animal in Leviticus that Moses said was an unclean animal and that the Jewish people should have nothing to do with. No, the Greek word that Jesus used here is the little puppies. The dogs that are pets. They're in the house. You care for them. So he says, first, the children would be fed. Okay? So, like, even in that one statement, you can see the hope that is there for the woman. Okay, fine. Let the children have their meal. I'm down with that. But then she says this amazing thing. She says, but even the puppies get the crumbs off the table. What humility. I mean, that's the way we need to come to Jesus. Not with our rights and, you know, our privileges and our demands and our expectations and what we think we deserve. But we come with utter humility and say, yeah, okay. Maybe I am a dog, a Gentile dog. But even the puppies get the crumbs. Wow. And Jesus said, what faith? I mean, I haven't even seen this kind of faith in the land of Israel. And here it is, boom, in a Gentile region. Because of your faith, because you have called out to me, because you believe, because you have come to me as the way you have, your daughter is healed. You have what you long for. You have what you desire. And immediately in that moment, her daughter was released from the oppression of the enemy. Now, what if we come to Jesus and we ask for a healing and he doesn't give it to us? I don't know why the Lord doesn't answer all of our prayers for our children. Some of you have suffered with the loss of a child. And it's deeply painful. And you don't understand why. And perhaps there'll only be some of these things that are answered in heaven. But I do know that everyone who cries out to the Lord, that the Lord has the power to release us from the bondage of the enemy of our soul. He will do that. If we come to him, crying out to him, and you who are parents, maybe you have kids that are astray in the far country, prodigals, or maybe you know a prodigal. Pray with humility. Intercede to Jesus Christ and the Father on behalf of that person. Don't give up in your prayers for the people that other folks, even some disciples of Jesus, write off. Keep praying, because I am convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ will not turn away any come to him. And that we may pray for our children, that the Lord would come in their life and release them from the power of the enemy. She came to Jesus for crumbs, but Jesus gave her a feast. Today we come to the table and we eat a crumb of bread. But in that crumb of bread, Jesus promises to give us a feast, to give himself as a sacrifice. He is the bread of life. My brothers and sisters, you who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you who have tasted the feast that the Lord has spread for you, come in faith again to the table and receive him. Amen.